Blog Talk Radio.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares?
Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight I have with me my co-host for this evening, Brother Ray. Brother Ray, you with me?
I'm right here with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, tonight we know everything that's going on in this world today. You know, not just for black folks, but for everyone. But tonight we're going to look at what's going on with black folks. But not just discuss what's going on, because we have to understand that what's going on, yes, it's affecting us physically. It's not a physical attack that's against us. It's a spiritual attack. We're being attacked as never before, we're being attacked on all levels, through food, through our health, you know, through our money, through our families, everything. We're being under constant attack. And this is a spiritual attack. This is a demon. This is demonic. And we have to fight this on a different level than what we fought everything before. But we have to be committed to what we're doing. So when we look around and, you know, I know Coretta Scott King has said that we fight racism at every generation. Well, I want to fight it for my generation and for my children's generation and my children's children's generation so that we can end this. But I know we have to do it in the spirit. And Brother Ray, I'll leave it to you now.
Well, I thank you for that, Sister Antoinette. And I really appreciate your show and what you do for our community. And I want to also just take this opportunity to thank all of you who took the time, who have taken the time to call in to be a part of this this effort. But what we want to do tonight is to begin to fulfill a cause that was structured and set up by the Congressional Black Caucus in 1982 and was charged by Ossie Davis. Ossie Davis was an actor, a great actor, he and his wife, Ruby Dee. And Ossie Davis challenged the Congressional Black Caucus in 1982 to put a plan together, to make a plan for our people so that if the leader should pass on or to die, then the next person would step up and continue the plan, that the plan would never die if we organized ourselves and put in play, or in place, a plan of action that we could carry out for our future generations. And that's how you're going to save the children. That's how you're going to save the nation. We are a nation of people. And we, as a matter of fact, we're the first nation. We're the ones created in the image of the Creator. It's us. And we have a spiritual and a moral obligation not to cooperate with our own demise. And I feel that, this Saturday, for an example, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, January 15th, 1929, was his birthday. And we try to commemorate that every year to remember him and remember what he stood for, what he lived for, and what he died for. And knowing him as I did, I know that he stood for justice. He stood for black people. He stood for all people. But he knew that what was good for black people was good for everybody. He understood that very well. And he was able to stand on the word of God and to do his call, to do his purpose. And he taught us, and every one of us has a purpose, a purposeful being here, and that we must follow our purpose. And he said to us that only God knows your purpose, and the only way for you to find out what your purpose is to communicate with God, and only God can tell you what your purpose is, not your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Can tell you, your preacher or your teacher can tell you what your purpose is. So that's between you and the Creator. So we wanted to start out that this program today just by saying that to you, that we will begin to reflect on how far we have come as a nation of people, all of the atrocities that we've been through and are going through as we speak. We must address them. They must be addressed. And I'd like to just share with you what Ossie Davis wrote, and how he put this together and challenged the Congressional Black Caucus. And I think it's our responsibility, those of us here on this radio tonight, it's our responsibility to carry this out, to make it a reality. And we can. We can do all things. We come together, organize ourselves. We can do all things. And I'm hoping that tonight when we leave this phone, that we will have in place a program or an idea that will work for all of our people as we continue to deal with our problems, not only here in America, but around the world. Wherever the melanated people are, we have a problem. And we have a problem with the same people. It's like we said, it's spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We understand that. But we do have to take a stand, and we do need to organize ourselves and follow a plan that we put together. And I'm hoping tonight, for those of you who have taken the time to come and to be on this program, to listen and to participate, I hope, that we will begin to finalize, or should I say, go over this plan and do what we call tweak it, bring it up to date, and make Ossie Davis's request a reality. I'm hoping that we can begin. I hope that you will all participate and ask questions or make comments. We have some things that we want to get across. We do need to have an organization that will answer the call. We have many organizations out here, but this call hasn't been answered since 1982 when it was presented. I was there when they presented it, and when the Congressional Black Caucus presented it. My brother was the chairman. Matter of fact, he was the founding chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus. And he, Ossie Davis, he and the original Congressional Black Caucus began to lay this plan out. They put a booklet out, which I have a copy of. And we're going to, at some point, we're going to go through this. We're going to tweak it for what we need today and follow through with the plan. So I'm hoping that those of you who are interested in doing this and want to participate would take the time to call us and be involved. Be involved. We've done enough talking. You know, we talk about everything. We know about everything. We got all kind of information, but we don't do anything about it. And it's time to stop the talk, start the walk. Let me get to this.
This is a roundtable discussion. So, you know, everyone is invited. Bring your pieces to the puzzle. And, you know, hopefully, you know, well, we're going to, I'm not going to say hopefully, we're going to come together and we're going to fight this demon on a spiritual level, because we can't do it in the flesh. You know, we can't do it. You know, we're not fit. We don't have the capacity to do it, because you can't fight a demon on the physical and win. So we have to attack him in the spirit. So, you know, yes, it's a fight. And, yes, you know, it may not end tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but we have to battle this demon. Now, this is something we have to do. So, like the periodically 381 days, you know, and it talks about commitment. So we have to be committed to fight. We have to be committed, you know, that we're going to do this. And, you know, as I've said, it's not just for us. You know, how many generations do we have to go through where they're still fighting the same battle, you know, battle of racism, and, you know, and it goes beyond that, you know, because they're out now not just for all race, they're out for every race. They're, you know, they're trying to depopulate the planet, I believe, to 500,000. You know, so it's not just here in the States. It's all over the world. It's a global thing. But we have to, right now, we also have to look at what's going on with ours. You know, I'm tired of, when I turn on the news, I'm hearing about our people getting killed. You know, we're getting killed by the police. We're getting killed by each other. You know, we have to draw the line. We have to fight this demon. You know, we hear people dying from getting the jab and, you know, everything else. You know, we have to make a call. We have to fight. We have to fight, and we have to do it in the spirit. Getting the guns and everything else, that's not going to do it. You know, protesting, well, we've done that. You know, they've been protesting for years. You know, that's not going to do it. So, you know, we have to go to what our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and, you know, great-great-grandmothers and everything that what they have done, you know, they fought in the spirit. And this is what we're called to do at this time, is to fight in the spirit.
And in order to do that as well, you know, as we've said already, we need to organize. And the Black
Yes.
Leadership Family Plan for Unity, Survival, and Progress of Black People was put together in 1971. And when Ossie Davis gave this writing and presented this to the Congressional Black Caucus, he said this. This was June 18, 1971. He said, "It's not the man, it's the plan. It's not the rap, it's the map." And he said, "Give us a plan of action, a 10 black commandments, simple, strong, that we can carry in our hearts and in our memories, no matter where we are. Reach out and touch and feel the reassurance that there is behind everything we do a simple, moral, intelligent plan that must be fulfilled in the course of time, even if all our leaders, one by one, fall in battle. Somebody will rise and say, 'Brother, our leader died while we were on page 3 of the plan. Now that the funeral is over, let us proceed to page 4. And that was Ossie Davis, the keynote speaker at the first annual Congressional Black Caucus dinner in 1971. Well, I have that plan in front of us, in front of me. And what I would like to do is, for those of you who are interested in formulating this plan and tweaking it for today and then distributing it throughout this nation and throughout the world, because we are including our brothers and sisters on the continent and Africa, on the brothers and sisters in South America and Central America, our brothers and sisters all over the planet. If they are interested, come put your shoulder to the wheel, and we can make this happen. And I believe, I firmly believe, that the people that I've spoken with who have joined us with the drum call that we do on Sundays at 3 every Sunday worldwide, we do a drum call. We're asking our brothers and sisters to drum because the drum, our ancestors used the drum to communicate with one another, and they also used the drum to communicate with the Creator, with God. And they would pray, and they would drum at a certain time. And everybody that I spoke with around the world, those who I have spoken with, agreed, and they agreed wholeheartedly. It was amazing how this word of mouth has gotten around the world. So now, with what we'd like to do now is add to that enthusiasm. I hope that my brothers in Cote d'Ivoire and the brothers in Ghana will call in tonight and let you know. And I hope that our Native American brothers and sisters will call in and let you know that they are on board with this and they want to be a part of it and will be a part of it. And I'm praying that we can get this together, get it organized. But it takes time and it takes effort. It takes support. We can no longer talk about it. We know everything. But what are we going to do? Like he said, it's not the man, it's the plan. It's not the rap, it's the map. We can rap forever, but if we ain't doing nothing, nothing's going to happen. So this is a charge to all of us tonight. And there are different areas that we have people with expertise in. For example, the drum call. We have master drummers all over this country. We've got brothers out and sisters out in California, in Los Angeles, in Oakland, in New York, North Carolina, Arizona, Colorado, all over the country. There are drummers who have finally come together and said, wait a minute, this is the answer to our problem. We don't have missiles and airplanes and rockets. And we're not trying to kill people. We're trying to save people, particularly the children. So they're coming together and they're doing this. So what we want to do is put the plan out and just ask those who are interested, don't wait for us. We're going to give you the plan. Do it in your community. Do it in your neighborhood. Organize your people. Start with the children. You know, some adults are very difficult to work with. We know that. But there's some children who will listen to you. And there's some young people who will follow and will do and will lead if you give them the plan. So we're hoping that we can get this together and get this plan in the hands of our people all over the planet who want to do something different. One of the things the drum call has caused us we brought in Sister Kim Weston, who was the second woman to record Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I hope that she's going to be on tonight, and because that's a very important song. It has some very important lyrics. It was written by African Americans right here in this country, and we need to spread that word. And we're saying to people, those who in China, those who are in Africa, and those in Central South America, all over, learn the song in your language, sing it in your language, get it to your people. You know, our strength is in the Creator. That's where our power is, and we have it. We just have not used it in this manner. So we're hoping that this will strike a note in the hearts and the minds of our people. We have plans for supermarkets. We have plans for economic power, empowerment. And for those of you who have ideas and have interest, this happens. And it can happen right in your neighborhood, right in your family. It can happen and will happen. So we're going to have to take back what's been taken from us. And again, this is our land. When they came, they found us here. And because of our temperament, our love for humanity, we didn't fight. We didn't kill. We didn't take. We offered. And when we offered to these people who came, they killed our people and took the land for themselves. Okay, so that's behind us now. Question is, what are we going to do about what's happening to us right now? That's what this is all about. Antoinette, I think maybe we can open the phones and see if anyone has any ideas, and we can then, proceed from there.
Okay, well, I have Ms. Kim when she's ready to talk. But anyone, the call-in number is 515-605-9343. Again, that number is 515-605-9343. And again, this is a roundtable discussion. So press 1 when you're ready, and your hand will go up, and I will open up your line. Okay, well, Ms. Kim, while we're waiting, do you have anything that you would like to add about this spiritual battle?
Well, I didn't hear what was said, I'd rather wait a little bit. God bless you, my brother.
Well, God bless you.
And the family.
Thank you for being here. What we just said was that we asked, because of your historic importance to our people, being the second woman to record Lift Every Voice and Sing when you were at Motown, Lift Every Voice and Sing, the first woman being Mahalia Jackson, and you being the second, that we felt that that's very significant and will help our people learn the words to Lift Every Voice and Sing and put these young folk know that there are people still alive, still around, who've been struggling, fighting for justice in this country and have not given up. So we just want to pass the mantle on to them, but we want to give them the knowledge, to give them the information that we have, that we've learned, the experience that we've learned on to them, and give them assistance wherever they need it to complete this job. I was also telling them about Ossie Davis and how he challenged the Congressional Black Caucus in 1971 to put a plan together. And that's what we've done. We have the plan, and we want to tweak the plan. Those who are interested in doing this to become a part. And by the way, you can call us at at 786-389-3274. That's 786-389-3274 if you're interested in doing something with this plan and how we can assist us and how we can get this plan out to everybody so they'll have a copy and a map by which to complete this plan. So that's where we are, and that's what has been said before you came on. And we know that, you know, we've just got to get the plan together and say, let's go from here. And I'm hoping that we can at least get something started. We need a committee. We need people who have different expertise that has been laid out for the Black church, for organization. It's been laid out for businesses and rights organizations, professional people. You know, we have everything we need. We've just been giving it away to the wrong people. And we are under a spirit attack. If you can't see what's happening today, you'll never see it. If you can't see what's going on in America and around the world at the hands of these same people, you'll never see it. And I'm saying to you, let us reason. Let us come together. And let us put our plan and begin to operate it. They can't stop that. They cannot stop that unless we allow it. And I'm saying I'm not going to allow it, and I'm hoping that you won't either. And I know Kim, you're doing good work up in Detroit, and you know, we just got to get more people involved. Let them know this is our plan as a people. You know, not I always said it, Kim. I've said this forever. What's good for Black people is good for everybody. I think that's
good
what
for
Dr.
the world.
Kim is trying.
Yeah, good for the world.
Yes, that's what Dr. King was doing with the Poor People's Campaign. He bought the Appalachian whites. He bought the Native Americans and Black Americans. He brought the poor people together. And I believe once he did that, Mr. Dulles, y'all know Dulles, John Foster Dulles and his brother and Mr. Hoover, and the people who control and run this country decided that enough was enough, and they killed him, as they've done every person who stood up for what was just and right. And it does not have to be just Black folk, because they did it for John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and others, John Brown, and other whites who stood up for what was right and just for humanity, because we are humanity. You know, we've been divided into color and race, but there's only one race, and that's the human race. And it all comes from the same source. So we have a big job to do. And I'm thinking, I know that with those people that I've spoken to about tonight, I know that you can do, be a positive part of changing this thing. So we just want, like you said, we want to put our heads together and formulate the plan. You can also send your information, if your suggestions. You can send them to the address 13101 Memorial Highway, North Miami, Florida, 33161. If you send those in and stay in tune, can keep this number here, 515-605-9343, and keep the direct number to the plan is 786-389-3274. So you can plug in and be a part of it. Put your head in this, in your mind, in your thoughts. We have a fresh farm plan, a coalition of farmers that we had just going on a few years ago, and of course it was sabotaged, but they sabotaged, but they didn't stop it. So once the plan is in place, this will be one of the fulfillments of this plan for Ossie Davis and the Congressional Black Caucus of 1971. So not necessarily what's going on now, but we can make this happen. This idea also that, you know, this government is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Well, what we've allowed to happen, people, is it has become a government of the rich, by the rich, and for the rich. And we have made them rich. We have bought everything they put on the market to sell us. We take our money and we don't spend it with each other. We don't turn it around in our own community. We don't shop with our own people. You know, we just attempted to do a supermarket here in a community here. And one of the comments that came out from one of the ministers there was, we don't need no black supermarket. What we need a black supermarket for? And I thought that was the most outrageous statement I've ever heard in my entire life, that the Mexicans have come in and opened the supermarket, so we go make them rich. Before that, the Jews came and they opened the corner store and we made them rich. Now the Afghans are coming in. They're going to make them rich. And we're making everybody rich but ourselves. And that's simple. It's a simple matter of spending your money with your own people. And those who are making the money, put some back. Don't take it off and run down and buy your Mercedes in your house and keep going. No, you have to put some back. You ought to put 10% of whatever you make back into your community so you can enrich your people. You can build these houses, these apartments, and build these shopping centers for your people and create the businesses that you want to do. We have a plan for that. You got a plan that works if you're working. Are there any questions? Are there any comments at this point?
Well, Brother Ray, I have one. Is that almost like the plan that the Black Panthers had? Minus the drumming.
I'm sure. I love what the Black Panthers were doing. I just didn't like their method. And and we didn't support. We didn't back.
True.
We did not back them up. This is what organization will do. Organization will back our plan up. And once you get organized, that enemy is not going to mess with you because he knows you got to answer for everything he does. Okay, what you do comes back to you, my friend. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do, just get it well organized so we don't make those kinds of mistakes. You know, we're not suggesting that you walk around the street with a gun on your shoulder. For what? This is not a physical warfare, even though it appears to be. You know, this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we can overcome the obstacles that have been placed in our way if we understand that and use this process.
If y'all don't mind, I'm want to just go off topic just for a second. I'm sure all of y'all know that Sidney Poitier passed away, and you know, I wanted to make sure that we acknowledge him. And also, Julian, oh, Lord, now help me, the Mac. Somebody help me with his last name because I don't remember it offhand.
Talking about the actor?
Yes. The one who played the pimp, you know, the original pimp, but he also played in the Black Ku Klux Klan in 1966.
Yeah, I know you're talking about it. He passed this week as well.
Yes. He passed on the 1st, on New Year's. And then also, you know, we have Betty White who passed away at 99. And I had seen where there was a tweet that went out that said that she had got the jab, she had got the booster. And she had tweeted that she had got the booster and, you know, encourage other people to do it, and then a couple of days later she died. And caller, I'll be right with you. And then we have where Bob Target, he passed away, and he had tweeted that he had died. Thank you, Julian Bond. Thank you very much, Brother Eddie.
Julian
and thank
Bond.
You, Brother Quam. Yeah, Julian Bond. Yeah.
Julian Bond, no, he was, Julian Bond was a politician, and he was in the civil rights movement. He was a lawyer. You're talking about, I can't think of it. I know you're talking about, but no, that's not the same person.
Yeah. But I'm not going to call or wait. Let me open up their line. caller 708.
Hey, family, I just wanted to chime in right quick. Can you hear me? How's everybody doing, Brother Ray, Miss Kim, and Sister Antoinette? How's everybody doing this evening?
Wonderful, Brother. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm living vertical, so I'm okay. I'm all right.
Amen.
So,
amen to that.
But anyway, I just wanted to, while I'm still listening and taking notes, I just wanted to give the name of Max Julian. That's his name.
Yeah, that's
Max
right.
Julian.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So, y'all continue okay. Internet. I'm on mute, but I'm going to chime in.
Okay,
thank you,
Brother. And thank you.
Antoinette.
Yes, ma'am.
I also want to give send out for the family of Wanda Rogers, who was one of the lead singers of the Marvelettes. For those that don't know, she's the one that sung "Don't Mess with Bill." She passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I love that song. We have so we also want to acknowledge her, and we have area code 706.
Good evening, Sister Antoinette. Good evening, Sister Antoinette.
Hello.
And Brother Ray. Yeah, that was Max Julian. And, yeah, we've lost a lot of, you know, the end of 2021 and even just to begin the year, you know.
Yeah.
Max Julian, he played Goldie in the Mac, and then he played Thomasine and Bushrod. He played one of the black exploitation. He was the Bonnie and Clyde of the West. That's what they made the movie about him. But what Brother Ray is talking about, and I sent you both, you know, the report that UGA just put out, Georgia is number 3 in as far as wealth in black people. And this is a part that we're not looking at because they put out a report as to how much we were making $1.3 trillion a year as people of color, of our people here of color, make 1.3. The Mexicans surpassed us at 1.5. We used to be number 2, now we're number 3. And so what we're looking at is how is it that we make so much? Look at our communities.
That's why we need the plan. And we need to enforce the plan. We take our money and we spend it everywhere but with our own people. You know, in Miami, Florida is a prime example of that. Or when the Cuban community was brought here back in the 80s, in 1980 to be exact, I can tell you the date, June 20th, 1980, the so-called Mariel boat lift. They brought 175,000 Cubans to Miami. Now, the government did this. These people didn't invade. They were brought here. And they were given money to go into business by our government. They were put in position, given jobs, and given mortgages for homes. And, of course, we lost our homes, and we're still losing them to foreclosures, to illegal foreclosures. I lost a lot of property myself to illegal foreclosures, but we didn't understand the economics of it, of how this was being done and how it's being done now. So now that we can put a plan together to make a difference, I think we can stop some of this or at least slow it down to the point where our children will have a better chance than they're going to have if we don't do something. So, yes, we make all this money, but we give it away. We spend it everywhere but our own community. We don't own any shopping centers in our community and do it for any measure. And when we try to do that, we're sabotaged by the system as it was, as it happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and other cities across this country. When black folk organized and tried and to build the economic base, they were attacked by the system. So what I'm saying today is that we have to be wise enough now to understand that that's what has happened, that's what's happening as we speak. We're under attack as we speak, and that we've got to organize ourselves and to put a response that's going to save us.
Brother Ray, and, you know, you made an excellent point about the Cubans, but what we're looking at And the Hispanic, that's why I was saying we're number three. Hispanic power, buying power, this is a report that I was sent to you all. It says Hispanic buying power also has grown substantially over the last 30 years from $213 billion in 1990 to $1.9 trillion in 2020. Hispanic buying power accounts for 11% of the U.S. buying power in 2020, up 5% from 1990. But we got to look at something that the Hispanics are doing. One, they're unified in their community and their family. They're still family-oriented. They open up their own stores. They create their own business. They import from Mexico to their own stores, and they sell their merchandise, and they make sure that their money circulates between the family of Hispanics. They will hire out and hire their own people to do work on their homes or do work that they need, and they're even getting to the part where they've created their own media, they've created their own radio stations. And how is it that those people, indigenous people, can come and do what we once used to do? How have we allowed someone to come and replace what we had once upon a time done? That's what we need to look at.
Well, I can answer that, I believe. We could not complete what we were doing because we were attacked. We were under attack by the same people who controlled this system right now. The corporations who run this country are the ones who control everything that goes on economically. They control the Federal Reserve. They control the banks. They control our government.
I'm agreeing, and I'm most agreeable. They control this. They control it for them. How is it that they're doing what they're doing and we not? Because you got to look how family-oriented they are. They will make sure that their cousins, their distant relatives come in, and they make sure that they're not separate. We have been divided and conquered amongst ourselves. We become our own worst enemies, because when you look at what we see in our community, we're attacking on each other. And even to the point where, yes, they have the Hispanic gangs and doing what they're doing, but they still have a respect for elders and families.
Well, that's what we're here tonight to do, to put our plan together and put it in operation. Everything that they are doing, we've already done. We built this country. We work free. We built it, and we were denied, and we're still being denied. They redlined us. They refuse to give us money that they're giving the people they're bringing in. They refused to the banks redlined our communities, and you couldn't get money. You couldn't get $50,000 to open a business, but you could get one for a Cadillac. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, until we take charge of that. I had this problem when I lost my property.
I'm seeing what you're sharing, Brother Ray, but what we got to look at, when we came out, yeah, they came and they brought us here and they worked us, and they also brought them and they worked them for less. They were part of the same exploitation that we went through, not as bad in chattel slavery, but they were done the same way. And even the Asians, when they were brought in to build the railroads, we're looking at these two other cultures, and here we are looking at ourselves and pointing the finger at that person, and that person is giving the same monies and doing the same thing to them, but they're keeping their monies and working with each other. We got to look at ourselves and how we do with each other.
But that's what this plan is doing. This is what this is going to do. It's going to teach our people how to do this. It has not been taught. You know, it's like Ossie Davis said, we got to put a plan together, so that if the leaders fall, the next person steps right up and the plan keeps working. That's part of the plan. That's what we're here tonight to talk about and to think about, and how we can participate in doing this. We're losing our land all over the country, and it's because of those who are in power. We cannot leave them out. Those in power create the conditions that have forced us into the positions that we're in. Here in Miami,
but
Florida, you have to keep honest within your own government, and that's not good, but we allowed it. You know, we played the game.
Brother Ray, what I'm trying to say is $1.9 trillion is in their community. 1.3 is in ours. How is it that we went from number 2 to number 3? And
because we are not organized, my brother. That's what we're trying to do tonight.
That's what
we
got to get organized.
And we have to teach our people, if you're going to spend money, you spend it with your own people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you have to enrich yourself. You have to make jobs for your young people. You got to put things in position so that they can
work.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because number one, what we got to do is we got to get back to family. They don't have the single family home, single parents like we see in our community. They still are family oriented. They will bring their daughters. They have special cotillions that they do for the young girls at 16, the boys at 16. They teach them responsibility. We have gotten to a point where our family households is a mother and the children.
And
yes,
it's by design.
But
you got to understand, it was by design. That's what the New Deal did for us. It pushed the black man out of the house, out of the home, and still wouldn't hire him and put him to work. So it was by design that we have been put in this condition. And what this plan, I hope, will do will bring us out of that so that we will be in control and in charge of our own and construction of our own communities. And we can do this. We got land all over the country. We own land.
And I'm in agreement with you, Brother Ray, but what we need, and this is very important, because the destruction of a nation begins in the home. If we have the destruction going on in our house, we ain't got time. We got to get our house in order first before we come out talking about going out in the street making and all these other things. That's where I'm looking at it, because if you look at those two minority groups, they are family oriented.
Absolutely,
Yes, that divide and conquer. We did more when we came out of slavery, going and finding our wives and our children, than we do today. And only way you find daddy is when he come up in court, because he's under charges for child support.
Yeah, but you see, that's a system that's been designed to do exactly what it has done. And we have to put a stop to it. And the way you put a stop to it is to organize, put a plan together, as Ossie Davis has said, put a plan together and work that plan. They can't stay on top. I've said this for years. Christmas is coming. Hold your money. Stop spending your money with these people. Don't buy anything. Hold your money. And now is the time to do it. This is the perfect time to hold your money and to put it in your own community.
And I sent you the thing about the founder of Kwanzaa. And we say, okay, don't do nothing for Christmas, but look what we do even in the time of Kwanzaa. We don't even do the part of the Kwanzaa celebration in saying that we create our own gifts. We create that year-long structure of those Nguza Saba.
What I'm hoping is that we those who are involved tonight will put a plan to get work together, to put a plan in place that's going to change all of that. You know, most people don't know the things that you know. They don't know the things that I know and others. So we got to share information and then organize ourselves. My brother was a Tuskegee Airman. I didn't know that he was a Tuskegee Airman until I became a grown man. Okay? Why was that?
Okay.
That was because my family had been destroyed by a system that had my father, who was a Negro Baseball League superstar, but refused to allow them to play with the white boys and kept them poor and run around playing, you know, on little lots or whatever, but denied them the same opportunity that the others got. You know what I'm saying? So We have to change that. Again, we just had that example right here in Miami, Florida, where they just fired a coach who took a team from a zero, no win, one win and zero wins and one game, one tie, whatever it was. And they fired him, and he's growing the team. But what they do, he grew the team, just got the players in. Now they're going to put a white boy in charge as the coach and fire him. But they do this to us all the time, and there's no response to it. There's no response. Once we get strong and organized, there will be a response to that kind of treatment. And the response that we have to do is when these things happen, we have to stop spending our money with them. Don't go to their games. Don't put your money up with them. And they have to fall. And they will fall.
But even with that, it's no paying for the games for high schools. High school coaches. They pay a coach more than they pay the teachers. How is it that you pay a coach for a team to make players to try to go into universities and colleges, and that's where they pay at? But the part that you're looking at is how is it that you pay a $1 million salary to a coach that teaches for a season, and you don't pay a living wage to the teachers in the schools?
Well, now
I think that's also by design.
We also have other callers I want to bring in.
I'm sorry, no, Brother Kwame, but I want you to continue. I just want to acknowledge that the other callers and let them know I will be with you. I want to let Brother Kwame and Brother Ray and finish their points this is great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you heard me talk about the Overground Railroad and creating the Oasis. I've got seven different black farmers in Alabama and Mississippi that have come together, and what they're doing is they work with each other, helping to put their crops in, to do and tend to their land and build in their nurseries, and doing this together. And one land that's 47 acres, the sister then took 15 acres, and now she's building tiny houses because what she's going to create is a bed and breakfast so people can travel there in Tuskegee and stop and go right across the highway to what? The Tuskegee Airmen Airport. It's right across the street. Right across 85 from where she lives at. See, this is what I'm saying. We got to stop talking and do. Our ancestors' spirit and service. Our ancestors' spirit is right there in Tuskegee. And she's right on the same side that the university, Tuskegee University, is there. And what I'm saying is that we got to create the spaces and the places where we can bring our children and bring it. It's like in September we did a festival out there. We brought people from around the country, from Atlanta, from different areas in the country to come there to produce and show their wares. And you got brothers that's doing construction showing you how to convert containers into tiny houses. There's a sister that just came out of the military, engineer. She's building A-frame houses, designing them. This is what I'm saying. That's organized.
That's what this
yes,
is.
Yes, and I also have a suggestion. I'm sorry, Brother Ray. But I have a suggestion which I'm going to ask from everyone. For any black-owned businesses that is in your area and that you know of, if you could send me, the list of them, the names and the listing, and what we can get together is a listing for everywhere for black-owned businesses and really support them. Even if it's online or, pardon me?
Yeah, those things Those things are already in operation. We just have to organize ourselves so we'll know who's doing what and how to connect.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. How do we put a plan together so that we'll know what Brother Carmi's talking about? I know the young lady there. As a matter of fact, I have friends who in Tuskegee who are professors there. The matter of fact, the gentleman who is over the water supply there. We just have to make the connections now. We've got to let people know what's going on. And the way to do that, in my opinion, is to put a plan together that everybody can follow. And once we got all of this together, that we can pass it out to the community. We've been doing this forever, but it has never caught on because we didn't, we didn't follow the Ossie Davis plan, as far as I can see. We didn't follow it. We didn't stick to it. We made a few bucks and we took off. I got mine, you get yours, kind of thing. We can't do that anymore.
But this is the point that Antoinette is saying. We have the World Wide Web. And what we are doing with it is TikTok, Facebooking, Instagramming. Yeah, we got some people on there that building businesses and doing that. But what we got to learn and start doing with our children, we got to teach our children. They play the games, but can they design the game? Can they design what we need to be teaching each other? That's what we need to do. That's how we get ahead and begin to program.
That's part of the plan, my brother. We got guys.
Because
I got my grandson who does that. We got people. Yeah. We got people.
Gentlemen, I'm going to bring another. We have other callers with their hand up, and if y'all don't mind, I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to start with 843 and 336. I'll be right with you. Give me a couple minutes, and we'll bring you in as well. 843.
Greetings. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Brother, how you doing, sis? Yes.
I'm well.
Greetings,
you
family.
Yourself.
All right. Happy fiscal new year to everybody, 2022.
Well, thank you, and thank you for yours. Yes, we're fighting
another
for a better
implement. And so it is. Yes, it
go ahead,
is.
Brother.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say that they have a bank that they had at least from the 80s, Banco Popular. And I think the only bank, well, there's a few banks around the country, and that's what we need to do is even if we choose not to put all our money in our indigenous or melanated-owned banks is to put some funds there. A lot of people are dealing with digital currency. We should also support those banks. But that's another reason why they bought up so much property in major cities during the 80s and the 90s was because of the fact that they had their own financing. And, of course, that has always been an agenda to impede the success of unconscious melanated people who doesn't know about their footprint, their ancestors here in America, So I think that was a major key also. And we tend to forget that there's a lot of mental illness in America, or really globally, because people choose not to work on themselves and heal themselves. Everything begins and ends with the self. We are the God of our own understanding. We were conditioned to look outside of ourselves, but overall we were prisoners of war. We were conditioned not to trust each other because of the fact that nobody wanted to face the whip. So if I rat on you, then I might not get beat that day. It's a lot of things that took place that still coursing through our veins, let alone the traumas that we've faced, from birth to this day. So there's a lot of things that, need to take place. So we need to assist each other that are willing to heal, because, we're basically traumatized in a lot of ways. And then we need to get into our spirituality of some sort and acknowledge by reading that book, the Helios Biblios, and not look at the pictures, because they specifically put those pictures of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man in that book, to also put that vision in us that in order to get Jesus to love us, we need to love the people who look like Jesus. I mean, it's a lot of things, and it's not as much, if you ask me, about looking out of ourselves as it is to look inside of ourselves. And everybody's not going to participate. It's a lot of things that, you know, we got to realize. You like the Dallas Cowboys, and I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, that's a separation right there on certain levels. And sometimes we tend to look at the things that separate us instead of, you know, the things that bring us together.
Yes,
you know,
that's so.
There's a lot of things. So Marcus Garvey, and one more thing I'd like to say, Marcus Garvey had a serious agenda, but see, he kept his presence in the face of people, you know, and he also did things only his way. People put a lot of suggestions to him, but it was basically what he wanted to do, regardless if he was Boulay or whatever the case may be, a Mason, an Elk, or whatever. The fact still remains, you know, we need to have a collective effort, and just like the brother Fauntleroy said, you know, regardless of where we are, Carolina, North Carolina, Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, whatever, we all need to have that same script. So that way, whoever is or who's not a leader in that environment, no matter what happens, everybody has that script. And I think that's another reason why certain people that don't look like us are so successful. You know, I'm tired of giving people credence and labels, but, you know, you could look at who are the most rich, the wealthiest people on the planet. You know, regardless if they wear yarmulkes or whatever, they still all have the same agenda.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, thank you, Brother Eddie. And also, thank you for bringing up about the black banks. And I think that that's something that we should all, you know, strive to do. You know, just put something, you know, through the course of a year, if it's, you know, nothing but $100, you know, $50, but open up a black bank account and, you know, let's start moving our money towards, you know, black-owned, you know. So if it's a black-owned bank, well, let's support them. And, you know, and supporting them, also let them know that, you know, we want black business loans. We want black homeowners loans. You know, we want black loans. We want black opportunities.
I'm speaking of a little, something a little different in that we have to be the ones who give the loans. We have to establish our own banking system where we control the loans for our people. It's been very clear that we've been locked out and left out of the money game and miseducated as far as the money game goes.
Yes.
And we don't have to stay miseducated. We can organize ourselves and teach our own, you know, teach our people what we need to do to get out of this dilemma we're in, and we are definitely in a dilemma, you know, because these others have been brought here and have been given what they have, and I'm telling you, they were given it. They didn't come and sweat blood, sweat, and tears in this soil to do anything. They were given it by a system that is designed to keep a people down, and the people they're keeping down are the people who allow them to keep us down, and that's us.
But
we can do this thing, man.
Okay, and, you know, we're saying this, and there's a scenario, and this is a true thing that they do in the Asian community. They will come in and bring in family members. They will work, and what they have is a pool that they take, and everybody brings in and puts in a few hundred dollars for this pool until they get enough money in that pool where they take the person and says, okay, we've got $30,000. We're going to take and give you this $30,000. You open up this store, and you run this store, and we will work in, and you hire us to come in and work in your store, and we will import from our country, and we will bring in what we need to make that store in our community. They will open that store and turn around and make that business prosperous, and bring in another family member from overseas and bring them in. And they, all of them do this thing, and that they have their own banks, yes, but they have, the way that they work it is that they pool their money in a pot and say, who is the next person to get the loan that they need, the monies that's going to open and start them a business. That's the way they've been doing it.
If I may add to that, yes, there's a thing called SUSUs, and Partners, as they call it in the Caribbean. That's another thing they do. The Hindu Indians do the same thing. I know quite a few of them, and it's one thing that they always say. They say, black people have too many churches. You know, I'm in the Carolinas, as you know, 843, and they have every 100 miles, at least every 100 to 200 miles, they'll have one temple. And in their temple, they do their spirituality and they do their business. They got most of the bank, well, not bank, excuse me, they have most of the gas stations and hotels in South Carolina. We used to tease them when I was in New York because the 7-Elevens were basically owned by Indians. But another thing that we need to take into consideration, most people that come to this country from other countries, they get grant stipends and recommendations from consulates of the United States Corporation, and they also deal with their consulate as far as any issues that they have. I've spoke to this before. There's a guy down here. He's about maybe 37 years old. He has three stores, and he has two gas stations. He has a Hellcat. He didn't put a plate on that car for 3 months, and he would drive that car and test it out on the roads. Here in the Carolinas, every now and then he'd get pulled over. Sometimes cops would pull up alongside of him and see him and then let him go, you know, because of those same significant reasons. Now, I don't know if they're donating money or whatever the case may be, but they definitely, every gas station down, damn near every gas station in the Carolinas has a red dot, and a red dot is ABC, and it's a liquor store. And a lot of their gas stations have liquor stores also. So, you know, there's a few things. But overall, I really feel that we should look at think tanks and places of healing, natural arts, sweat lodges, Brother Kwame, you know, dialogues, you know, that we need to communicate, and it needs to be a sacred place. So, you know, if I get mad at you, if you had issues, you know, you were molested as a child and you bring that out in the conversation, or, you know, you smoke crack for 1,000 years, or no matter what it is, it should be kept, you know, private, because that's where healing takes place, and that's where anger is elevated, because somebody is, you know, speaking to something and looking at somebody's challenges aren't as bad as mine. And, you know, that's why these things are spoken out. But overall, healing needs to take place also. I yield. Go ahead,
Brother Kwame. And you're correct, because right now I'm working with White Bison, and it's called Wellbriety. And what we're doing in this Native American spirituality, and it's part of a recovery program. It deals with PTSD, the battered women, violence that's going on the reservation, violence that's going on in our community, because our people are finally realizing they have an indigenous connection. So what this program is doing is, like he's saying, using the sweat lodge, using AA, using NA, using ACOA, using Al-Anon, and they formulated for the mental, what you were talking about, the mental, because what happens in the psychology, when you're talking about mental, you're talking psych, but psych only means the spirit. The spirit has disconnected from the mind. That's why your parents used to tell us when you do something crazy, have you lost your mind? Yeah, we lost it. We disconnected from the spirit. And that's the part that we got to do. And the best place to do it, to reconnect, is the oasis, our ancestor spirit, because nature is the mother.
Yes.
Nature, this planet is our mother, until we leave back out and go back out into to where we came from. But the part for what we got to do, and this is what I love about the program, gotten to be an elder on their council. And so what we're looking at is teaching. I do a study group, with their book study class every Sunday. I do a study going over the book and teaching it, because I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic. Who better can tell you how to deal with reconnecting your spirit than one who lost it?
Yeah. That's true. That is so, so true. And very important. We have another call I'm going to bring them in also. Code 336.
Greetings, family. Sister Antoinette, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, ma'am. We can hear you. You're loud and clear.
Excellent. Greetings, everybody. Greetings, Brother Ray. Greetings, Brother Kwame. Greetings, greetings to Brother Eddie and Brother Harris. Brother Eddie, you right on point. Saturday, my child, my firstborn, came to visit me. And I had the opportunity to have a reasoning briefly via phone with my great-grandchildren and my granddaughter, their mother. And I was asking my daughter about that land that her husband crossed over and left her, which can turn into be an oasis. And I also asked her about her land that they're on, that land that they're living on right now. The yard needs to be cleaned up. I'm getting to a point, family. I realize how hurt and dysfunctional we all are. I had that child at 16. The DSS took her from me because I whooped her ass for doing something so outrageous. And she went to the school, and the next thing I know, they were sending the police out to arrest me, to put me, my black butt, in jail for whooping her for doing something that she did. I'll leave it at that for now. I was, what, 26, 27? I saw that. I didn't know this was going to come like this, but when I look back over it, it was all put into place. Now, Brother Ray, we can put all kinds of programs or plans in place, but if we do not heal, if our POTI people, I'm a Baha'i, look up that term POTI, pupil of the eye, okay? People who look like us are POTI people. If we do not heal and we do not do the sweat lodges, this is my opinion. Even before I met Brother Kwame, I was going to the sweat lodges, and I knew from Jump Street that everybody needed to have a sweat lodge in their backyard because everybody couldn't get to the res. Okay, now, if we do not heal, we cannot come together. My children, my great-grandchildren, they think I'm crazy. I asked my daughter, I said, well, I can get my wheelchair, and I can teach my great-grandsons how to, and my granddaughter. Ma, you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. That's not now. We don't do that. And it hurt me. And that my children are not the only one that have been institutionalized and broken away from their spirit. You know, it started when DSS decided to come and do what they did, but it was all in the plan. Otherwise, we would not be having this conversation or this reasoning right now. We must put together a package where we can start to heal. Like Brother Eddie said, we have got to have places where we can go to the sweat lodge, where we can heal our spirit, where we can learn spiritually how to stick together as a family. Otherwise, we can put 50 million plans, Ozzy Davis's plan, Martin Luther King's plan, and all the
Claude
other
Anderson.
Plans, Claude Anderson and everybody else in the mix, and it will not work. because we are too ill. We kill each other. We steal each other's shit.
Let me finish, Brother Ray.
You have to look at it from this perspective, because we're elders and we're not going to be here too long. And after what my daughter demonstrated, I didn't teach them that. I wanted something else for them to have their own, to teach their grandchildren and my children how to build, how to build their own oasis and not have to depend on anybody else or let it look like a jungle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand what I'm saying here? We are so demented and disillusioned until we figure out what is really going on here. It will never be a cohesiveness. I see that now.
Not so.
Yes, ma'am.
We are the chosen. We are the chosen ones. Bless you all. We are the chosen ones. And we need to stop dealing with the problem and deal with the solution. The plan needs to be made when we understand what's going on. But listen, all we got to
yes,
do,
ma'am.
Like everything that has been said tonight is right. Everything is right in its own place. We are sick. And we got a right to be sick. We got a right to be sick. But we also have a right and something special in us that makes us different from the rest of the people. And that's where the problem is. What we got to do is start giving thanks and keep on working with what we're trying to do. We got to learn to give thanks because it's designed for us to destroy each other. But you can't do that when there's joy. And we're still here. One of my young people said, my life is a beautiful nightmare. And she's absolutely right, because that's what it is. But what we got to do is make that beauty shine. And we got what it takes.
I agree with that, Ms. Kim. I agree. Yes, ma'am. I agree with that. However, how can we be in a position or place ourselves in a position where the collective can overstand and understand the power that we have within, the understand and overstand that
they,
God
they can't do anything
within.
With the power. They cannot do anything with the power that is within. That's between us and the Creator. It's a one-on-one thing. And that's where the problem is. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our path. We cannot do it on our own. I've been trying to get people to understand what I'm saying about the Tuskegee Airmen donors save the world. I'm trying to get people to help me to put together an international Tuskegee holiday, because they change history. So everything that we're saying, this needs to be a part of it. I want to know the people that agree that the Tuskegee Airmen are daughters who are 95 years and older. They ain't going to be here much longer. When are we going to let them know that what they did was outstanding and no one has ever done it? Through the grace of God, America deserves that credit. That we saved the world. Our daughters did that. The first black pilots. But we're too busy doing other things and conniving and scheming with each other. That's the kind of stuff we need to be doing. Our children are like they are because we haven't done our job.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever heard of Count Basie? The people around here, nobody around here has ever heard of Count Basie. Mm. Whose fault is that?
You said Count Basie?
Yes,
Count Basie, yes.
Yes. I mean, I know Count Basie. Him and Duke Ellington, they were some of the great orchestra leaders.
I'm telling you that the young people don't want to get the hell out of it.
They don't know. The young people, she said, Brother Kwame, have no idea who these people are.
And I'm bragging about me being able to record with the Count Basie Orchestra, and they don't even know who Count Basie is. They don't know who I am.
Right. Right. And who's
that
fault? That's what I'm saying, because that should be something that, you know, in art that we have in our house. If whatever you put up on your wall, your child looking at it is going to look up to it when it gets older and grown. So if you don't have pictures of people that look like you on your wall, and you have something other than yourself up on the wall and people that look like that, even in your classroom, if you don't put those type of people up for somebody to see and look up to. My granddaughter right now called me. She said, Paw, Mae Jameson, she from Chicago. I'm going to do a project for her for Black History Month. Can you make me a PowerPoint? First black woman to go into space. And she, 9 years old, knows who that is. I credit my daughter because my daughter knows who she is.
Yeah, I know, Brother Parker. That's what I'm talking about. Everything that you all have been talking about was absolutely right, because we have no more families. But you know what? The family was more than just the mother and father when
right.
I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, it was the aunties, the uncles, the cousins, grandmother, great-grandmother.
Yeah.
And don't forget, don't forget the big mama that sat in the window and told on everybody when she seen you do something wrong. That was family.
Yes.
The neighborhood. Claude Anderson said that so eloquently. Claude Anderson said it starts with the mother and the father. It started with the mother and the father. Then it expands to your community, which is your neighborhood. Then it goes in the community, and it causes a ripple and effect from there. But just like, you know, where it starts at first and foremost is that mother, father, and child. You know, and that's the real physical trinity. And then it expands from there. I yield.
Yeah,
hello,
brother.
Hello. Yes, Brother E.
Go
brother
ahead,
Harris,
Brother Eddie.
In the house.
Yeah, I'm loving all this, but what I'm seeing that everybody is saying and not saying, what we need to start first and foremost with our organization is our own darn schools, family. See?
Yes, you're
it's
right.
It's up to us, carpet color people, to fix us. We can't wait for nobody else to do what we're supposed to be doing. Like we're saying, we're supposed to be teaching our children. That's why they're dumbfounded and don't know anybody like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and all our artists all over the world. They have no idea, because the dumbing down of America, how long have we been hearing that? And we constantly put our children back in these institutions to be dumbed down. I'm in Chicago, and I loved it when the children are out of school because they're not being brainwashed in the public schools. I hate it that our people for 18 months under this stay-at-home shelter-in-place, keep your child out of school, and didn't make no darn arrangements or contingency plan to teach their own babies. 18 months. Didn't come up with a damn thing. Now they put them back out of school, and they complaining. They want babysitters because the parents are darn lazy to teach their own darn children. It starts from the home. The first MD doctor is your mama and your daddy. That's the first damn MD, right at home. See, we ain't got to go nowhere else, and we're going to get the wrong information from the wrong people who, as Miss Kim said, deliberately made it to the point where we're ill. We're killing each other. We're doing because we haven't taken the time out to educate our own. We know the truth now. And we keep putting them in the hands of these demonic, crazy people. And we expect a difference, then we crazy. Doing the same things, expecting a different result. You send them to that school. That's giving them permission to shoot your child with their shot and any other thing they want to do, teach them homosexual tendency, all this garbage. And we sit back in the cut letting this stuff happen instead of appreciating what the creator has did to have this system keep y'all butts at home. We hollering and screaming.
Brother Eddie,
the best damn thing that could have happened to get yourself together inside out. We got nothing but time, and we still listening to the outside chatter, the outside noise. That's why we can't get it done.
Brother Eddie, you made an excellent point about that, about educating the schools educating. But we even let them bring us the entertainment because they're now showing the TV series of Emmett Till's mother. They made a TV series about that. The white woman that's starring on there as the woman that accused him of that and lied about it is still alive, living, and they have not processed her for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I think we've been saying this particular phrase. I quote from Brother X, there's no justice, only selective prosecution. They select the lockup. Who in the heck they want to, and we know who that is.
Yeah.
Just us.
Yes.
Primarily.
Everybody, but everybody uses change in their pocket and a dime. You take that dime out and you see that head of Roosevelt's bust on there. Selma Burke. Anybody know who Selma Burke is?
No. I don't.
I've heard of the
Selma
name.
Selma Burke is the black woman that designed, sculptured Roosevelt's head that they used the bust to put on the dime.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
There we go
that
again.
Reminds
what
Maya Angelou's quarter is coming out, and so y'all make sure you get one and put it up. I try to, you know, whenever it comes to something that has us on it, that you know, I would always try to make sure that I had it for, you know, my children and my grandchildren. So she's going to be on the quarter. But I said it's ironic that on the flip side, you still got George Washington. But George Washington got a ponytail now.
Brother Kwame, would you tell them about what Ms. Brown told you about the Tuskegee Airmen calling?
Oh, Ms. Brown said that they made quarters, half dollars, and silver dollars of the Tuskegee Airmen, and they were came out, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Friday, in the bank, and sold out. They sold out because they were minted, and they don't put it in mainstream media, but they did, and now they're collected and collecting items. Same way that they did, they meant different people of color and do not put it on out there in mainstream media for us to go and do it. Because I was sharing with Antoinette right there in Charleston, South Carolina, North Carolina. Charleston right there, there's a brother who has a little museum and he's got a thing, it's called The Color of Money. Every Confederate basically... All the most Confederate money had pictures on it that looked like us.
Yes.
And the part about it is that if we had started, still was able to get Confederate money, guarantee you we would be doing a lot more with money that looked like us than taking white faces and put them in the wrong places.
Yeah.
I'd like to add to that. There's a brother named Tahuti, and he put a Black Bowlers Museum up in Detroit. He's on Facebook. I don't know. I think it's at Tahuti Adufume, but it might be Black Bowlers International or something like that. But bowling used to be an oracle, you know, like throwing seashells, you know, oracle, just like tarot cards and things like that. That's something that our ancestors did. It's an ancient game. There's a bowlers museum, a Black Bowlers Museum in Detroit. I think it's about a year old now, so that's something else that we could look into. And it's a good way to generate money. You know, we could start our own tournaments. Just like that movie that Big Boy did about golf. You know, if you really look at it, just like what our sister was saying, you know, we have done so much on this planet that we don't even realize some of the things, but the things that we do know and realize, we definitely need to have dialogue with about them more than just in February, a month that was given to us. You know, I mean, we should celebrate ourselves every day because we're here every day. We're the oldest people on the planet, you know. And because we're not doing what we should do in reference to what's in our heart and minds, regardless if our neighbor doesn't feel the way, that same way that we do. But as long as you raise that banner, the willing will come and assist. You know, and just like something that I used to say back in the day, I like to add one more thing. I tried to get some people up top, you know, if they were willing, because, you know, they put our children in bad schools. And some of the reasons why they do that is because our children are so intelligent. Once they finish their classwork, they're bored. So they go around and harass the other children. So
yeah,
just like what Brother Kwame was speaking on, these farmers down here, our family that have farms, that's a good camp. That's a good school, because one thing anybody needs to know how to do is how to raise their own crop and feed themselves, you know, and they could put a little survival stuff in there also. And they could teach them how to respect weaponry because of the fact that, you know, we use them for the wrong reasons. You know, we use them out of emotion. We don't use them for protection. So it's a lot of things that we could do. Yes, I yield.
May I be heard?
Yes.
This is what I had, family. Ma'am, I'm calling you from Tucson, Arizona, in the Gables Resort. I'm still here, family, waiting to walk before this year is out, hopefully. Anyway. I had a school, and when they found out about it through my daughter, I had to shut it down. I taught the neighborhood children in the neighborhood, including my nephew, who's a designer as we speak now, how to sew on industrial machines. I'm not talking about little bitty machines. I'm talking about factory machines. I have six children, and two of those children, including my daughter, in order to run those power machines, they had to stand up. They were too short to sit down. They had to stand up. They shut me down. What I'm saying is, just like Brother Eddie said, these are the things that can be part of the Overground Railroad. I wholeheartedly, I've always had that type of thinking, you know, but I didn't call it the Overground Railroad. I call it back to nature, back to basics. That was what I called it. But you see, Brother Kwame can tell you what I do. He's been to my camp when I had a camp for 13 years in North Carolina. A lot of that campground I put together on crutches, crawling and walking, because I've always had issues with my legs, okay? Now, parents can participate, should participate. And I'm going to say this, and I want to dedicate this to my family, to my children, to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and to the Baha'is in this community in Tucson. We have the opportunity to be a part of this school, the Dunbar. I choose to call it the Dunbar Project. They call it the Dunbar Pavilion. There's somebody in there who's creating a nursery family, and it should be up online. His name is Drew Topia. His name is Drew, and his business is Drewtopia. They have other classrooms in there. I haven't been on the place. I don't know what it looks like, only on pictures. but I'm sure they have a space in there where, just like you said, Brother Eddie, those children can be on that farm. They could pitch tents. That's what can happen there or here at the Dunbar Pavilion. I'm not sure if these Baha'is want to go there, but I'm going to bring it to their attention, because all of the Dunbar schools, I think, Brother Kwame, did you not tell me they were trade schools?
Well, the ones in Chicago, and then they have one that's in D.C., and it's a major education center there in D.C. And I know Paul, and it's named after Paul Lawrence Dunbar, who was a poet and writer during the Harlem Renaissance. Him and other great writers were in that era, and a lot of the schools are named after those great different historians, because even I don't know who the Dunbar that they're using to name after that pavilion or that space, but basically those schools were representative of the black historians, writers like Paul Lawrence Dunbar, DuSable, Robert S. Abbott. They just changed it to in Chicago. Robert S. Abbott was the founder of the Chicago Defender. That's how we got all of our information from the north to the south, was through the Defender. You know, so we've got to look at these spaces that were learning centers for our children.
Yes.
Who were,
yes.
And naming them after people that they will know, you know.
Yes, and see, Brother Kwame, let me interject here. Brother Eddie, this is another reason that Ventor's character, I'm going to leave him a message tomorrow. I'm going to call the university, because he is a Baha'i. He should know about this Dunbar here in Tucson, Arizona. He's a historian. He's supposed to know these things, that South Carolina is the oldest, has the oldest black Indian tribe, or however you want to put it, Poti tribe or whatever. These are the kinds of things that we need to know. And the Chicago and the other trade school, we need to, as just human people, one human family, bring these types of skills to these places like the Dunbar, and I'm sure there are others. And this is where the Venter's man, Louis, can come in. I don't know history like you do, Brother Kwame, like you do, Brother Eddie. You know, I'm playing catch up. But I know when I have a good feeling about something, you know, like the music that Miss Kim has been a part of. Like tomorrow, you know, Brother Eric is going to do a show with Truth to Power, Sister Bev. And they feature music, the old school stuff. You see, these are the kinds of things. I'm not sure if you are aware of this family, but there in Hemingway, South Carolina, at the Baha'i Institute, the LGI, there's a radio, Baha'i radio station there, Radio Baha'i. And way back in the day, they used to play some music that would bump you to the end. It was jazz and all kinds of things.
They still do.
Really? Okay. See,
yeah, 90.9 FM, baby.
Okay. We need to bring our young people in and expose them to the Dunbar pavilions and the Dunbar schools, because that energy is still there. You know, I found out that the Indian children on the res here in Tucson could not go to the Caucasian schools. They had to go to the Dunbar school here. I don't know what happened in Chicago, but I do know that history is here. The Buffalo Soldiers were a part of the children of the Buffalo Soldiers were also students in this Dunbar school here in Tucson. So these kinds of things need to be talked about all over the planet. And we're talking about music. The largest drum circle can be here in Tucson. You see, I'm thinking about all of these things that we're speaking about. It has to do with sound, healing, music, therapy. All kinds of things can be taught.
Colors.
Yes, this is what I'm saying, Brother Ed. I'll be quiet. I yield. Thank her.
Thank you.
There you go. I wanted to hear, because he wanted to say something a minute ago before we all got the Holy Ghost, you know.
I apologize, Brother Rick.
No, I'm here. Yes, it's all good. It's all good. I'm here. I think, though, we're missing the point. Everything that has been said is part of the organization that we need. All of that is included. Education, health, nutrition, all of those things are included. That's what Brother Dick Gregory brought to the table years ago, and we did our best to teach it. But again, the people were not ready. I think now we're ready to take the next step and to go to everything that we've been talking about over the years, and that is farming, that's health and nutrition, you know, getting the proper foods into our people and owning the farms. And those are the kinds of things that need to be done. But you cannot do them if you're not organized under this system. This system is designed to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what they've done, and that's what they continue to do. And until we organize ourselves to prepare ourselves to deal with it, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to happen over and over again. So I'm just praying that we can begin this process of organizing and putting in place all these things that we're talking about. It's not going to happen by talking about them. We've got to do them. And they need to be done. And we've got we just got to start moving and getting everything done that we're talking about. It's all good. We've been doing it a long time, and it's all good. It's time now to move. That was the point here, that if we can organize ourselves to make this happen now, you know, take this step. Black Caucus laid it out for us. We didn't follow up on it, so that's why we lost it. But now we have the opportunity to bring it back to life, and that's what I'm hoping will come out of everything that we're talking about, bringing back the life of a future for our people. And you do that by organizing, and each one takes it. You know, we've heard so many suggestions tonight. Those things work, and we'll work if we work them. You know, so that's what I was looking for tonight, is how do we organize ourselves to address the issues that only we can address. And everything that has been said to get us out of this mess we got ourselves into. Can't keep blaming other people. Blame ourselves for keeping ourselves in this position.
Go ahead, Antoinette.
Forgive me, Brother Cromley. We have another caller with their hand up. But first, let me say this. We have 15 minutes left in this live broadcast. If y'all want to continue with us, the call-in number is, forgive me, area code 515-605-9343. Again, that number is area code 515-605-9343. And I also would like to remind y'all to don't forget, Brother Dry Bones on Sunday for the Helios Filios at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now, area code 424. Area code 424.
Greetings, family. This is Brother Tariq here. Greetings.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. My phone started acting up on me this afternoon. Shut down and it wouldn't start up, and then I find out what it had 50% in. I said, "What's going on?" So I had to take it in tomorrow. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Just, always, you know, the tech stuff is always for real. Geez, we don't deal with the tech too good. You know, so, but anyway, I've been listening a bit, and I heard a few of the suggestions and so forth that we've been speaking about here since March of 2020, really. When they dumped this nonsense on us, and Mike Pompeo announced that it was a live exercise, which should have told us then that what the thing was. We should have known already back then that it was not what they said that they're trying to say it is, because it's a military exercise. Yeah.
Right.
And I keep pointing out this thing that if the Pentagon is $30 trillion in the red, you understand, they have not accounted for over the years, who's running this country? What democracy are we talking about? What Republican form of government are we talking about? You know, we better come to grips with reality and quit playing around, because, you know, right now you got a good 30-40% of the population who will be dead in the next 2 years at the latest, because of the shots that they've taken and all the boosters. And despite the fact that the ingredients are right there on the internet, you can find the ingredients. You can look it up. You can check out what it is, what it does. For example, luciferase is in the shot. Methazolam is in the shot. Propylene glycol is in the shot. I mean, you know, come on, y'all. What? You know.
And aborted fetuses are in the shot.
Yeah, and we got to go. Yeah, and fetal tissue is in the shot. Right. And so, you know, we need to be coaxed and what, we got to be shamed, and well, what the hell's got to happen before we even start asking questions and say, wait a minute, what is the purpose of them pushing this shot on these shots? Excuse me, now it's 6 or 10 of them now, I think it's going to be, what is the deal? Well, I can tell you what the deal is. It's the corporate governance, the executive branch, the congressional branch. They own the rights to the shot, and they pushing that everybody gets the shot because they're going to make the most money. Y'all, come on now.
Brother Tyreek, you know what I saw? That Pfizer also makes Advil.
Yeah. Yeah, and so do many of the other pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, and all you got to do, folks, really, the only thing you got to do is go to the library or get on that computer and ask it to open up the physician's desk reference, which tells you every single drug there is on the market. And it tells you every drug in there says it will kill you. You can read it for yourself. You know what I mean? This is all poison. Yeah, all poison, because it's petroleum waste. Coal tar that it's made from, okay? So does coal tar belong in the body? I don't think coal tar belongs in the body. No. And so that's why we have so many million people every year who die from the pill, you know, because pills kill. Yeah, that's what the pills do, you know. And they certainly don't heal. They don't ever claim to heal. They never claim to cure. They only claim to do what? Relieve, right?
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, relieve, right? So what's the word right in the word relieve, right in the middle there? What's that word?
Live.
Yeah, the big lie, right in your face. Yeah.
Okay. Why
well,
live? Okay.
Yeah, relie. That's what it is. Relive. You know, just like be lie. Same thing. You be the lie, or you re the lie. You understand? Because that's what's being done to you by these people. See, they make you want to think that they're doing something to help you, but in fact they are doing absolutely the opposite. And I know, Brother, can speak to this. This is what they do all the time with words and numbers.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. From what we're speaking about, what would you, what do you feel or recommend that something that we could add to the suggestions of what we need to do as a people? What kind of class or what do you feel that we need to implement? If anything,
well,
hasn't been spoken of already.
Right. Well, okay. Well, I have I put together an information survey, which I call, you know, news you can use so you don't lose. And I think it has a book list in there. It has some incredible history in there. It has research, all types of research that I've done, that others have done in there. And then it tells you literally what's going on right now, because this is a repeat of the 80s, except this is on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they put this thing on us, you know, and it's a military exercise. Remember, that's what they said. So I have this information survey available then, and I also have a process and knowledge about and have used this process multiple times successfully, because it always works, because it's always never going to be responded to by these creatures, because they don't believe that they have to respond. See? Because they're who they think they say they are. Okay, so this two-letter process, or we can use the other process, which is called the power of acceptance. In other words, we accept everything they say upon their proof of claim. You know, in other words, they work for us. We don't work for them. So whatever they're claiming, they have to prove the claim. They can't put it on us, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
deep,
yeah. So then, this is how you approach it. Okay. Well, since you work for me, let me see your paperwork. Okay. Let me see your oath and bond and your registration with the Secretary of State and all the other 10 things you supposed to have to be in that office. And I need you to send those certified copies to my notary post haste. You got 72 hours. Who's in charge? Are we in charge or are they in charge?
Well, the people by the people, supposedly.
We the people are in charge if we take charge. Okay, so this is the process on how to take charge. Okay, let me show you what happened. So I did this. So the sheriff who pulled me over and stole my car, talking about, you know, whatever he said, they took it. And then they give me a ticket. No, they put this time, the first time they put me in jail for 15 days. And then they brought me in front of a court, and the man that was supposed to be representing me, he asked the judge, said, "But sir, this man has not had any contact with the police in 9 years. So how can $800,000 bail be that can't be?" And so he said, "Okay," they lowered it to 120. All right. So 15 days later, I get out of it. I don't have no bail. They let me out on my OR, which is my own recognizance, right? Okay, so
yeah.
I went home immediately, sat down at the computer, got on the phone, got my paperwork together, and had it sent by UPS the next following week, okay, with my half-blind self at the time, all right? And so they didn't respond, of course. So the sheriff owes me $40 million. The AG's office owes me $60 million. The court owes me $40 million, and they're all in default by the notary, declared in default by the notary. Now, I'm in the process of collection now, which means I have certain documentation I have to do. I have to send them a notice I have to send them a demand for payment, a first demand for payment, second demand for payment, third demand for payment, right? And so, since I'm not asking for money, I'm asking only for credit. You know, this will work out, because see, if you ask for money, then you're going back to jail, because there is no money. The country's been operating in bankruptcy since 1933, and went out of bankruptcy for the last time 2019, and is no longer in existence. The U.S. corporation is dissolved, folks. Go look it up. I'm telling you, We got the power if we just use it. We got the power if we just use it. They do not and will not respond because they cannot respond. They don't have a proper oath. And I know this because I went to the Secretary of State and asked to see the oath. And the oath is 2-3 paragraphs long almost. And what part of the oath did they do? The first part only. So did they take the oath? No. See, so you got them right there. That's a felony. Okay? Second, you want their public hazard bond. Do they have one? No. They have some other kind of blanket bond, some lightweight 25 grand, some nonsense. Okay, no, you can't do that. That doesn't suffice. Okay? So that's felony number two. And then you have the third thing, registration with the Secretary of State as a foreign agent. Because all people who take an oath to have a job are foreign agents to we, the people. You see? That's the basic law in civics we're supposed to learn in eighth grade, ninth grade. You know? And once we get our people involved with this kind of thinking and stopping with the, I don't know what's going on, always looking with your hand out, what? No. Let's start taking charge, folks. We can do this. It's been done. Many of our ancestors, even 150 years ago, did this, and it worked. Because they know the power of the pen. You see? The power of the pen says, hey, fool, you work for me. I need to see your paperwork.
Okay, I got another question for you.
Yes, sir.
When we step to this and we receive this credit, we can utilize that credit for various things, but we need a place to house some of those funds. Because eventually it's going to turn back into some kind of liquid, be it silver, gold, or whatever. And then that could be used by the family.
Like our ancestors' gold and silver. Because they didn't get paid in no paper. They got paid in gold and silver coin.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutionally, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
See, so that's something that we could use for these agendas also.
What's that?
No, I said these are also things that we could use in equity to, you know, support these endeavors that, you know, Brother Ray put on the table. Yes.
Sir, the plan has already been laid out for us 2 or 3 times. There was a group in Chicago in the 70s that had a whole plan laid out for us to take back our land, because that's the issue. You understand? Our national identity. If you don't have a national identity, then you don't even exist to these people. So what is our national identity? What is our nationality in this land? Who are we? Are we Negroes, Blacks, or Coloreds, or African Americans, and some of that shit? No, none of that.
No.
Can't be none of that. See? Because that violates international law to say that, actually. You know? Because you're telling the people that you have no identity. Really, that's what you're literally saying. So now that we've been coming into contact with the knowledge about who we are here in this land, and how long we've been here in this land, and where we came from to this land, 300,000-400,000 years ago, okay, and all the mounds that are built all across the country by our ancestors. I mean, all of that we must take and use and stand on and let these invaders know that we are here. We want our land back, and we're going to take it back. And the prophet showed us how to do this long ago. Noble Drew Ali, go check him out.
Thank you, Brother Tyreek. We have another caller, area code 404.
Brother. Hey, peace and blessing, y'all. What's up, y'all?
Hello,
hey, I'm just listening because time of year, wintertime. I do like the animals. I'm hibernating, so I ain't going to say too much because I follow the real circadian rhythm of time. So this time of year, I hibernate. I won't say too much. But the main thing I want to say is, I'm about to cuss. They pushing this fear stuff, man. That's the main I'm trying to let everybody know. And I'm suffering from battle fatigue, trying to tell my people how to get through this. The new fear tactic now, they're talking about ain't nothing in the damn grocery store. It's a damn lie. Okay, I went to the store today. There's people buying stuff, man, especially in Georgia. And now they got a manufactured damn snowstorm supposed to be coming this weekend where they were spraying all the chemtrails. And they doing that because of the damn manufactured snowstorm to put this fear to make everybody go to the damn grocery store to buy up every damn thing like a damn fool. And plus, in Georgia, Monday's the King Day holiday, so they're doing that, sprayed all them chemtrails to make everybody want to fight and shit. So y'all be careful this weekend coming up, man. King holiday, and they push your pill on national news now. But ain't nothing in the damn grocery store. That's a damn lie. That's a damn lie. So I'm just, you know me, I'm military all the way. And don't y'all fall for no fear. I'm going to be quiet and mute myself because it's wintertime. I'm doing like squirrels
you know
and birds. I'm finna go. I'm going to sleep and listen.
You know, Brother Wesley, Brother Ray has a title for you. Brother Ray, you want to give Brother Wesley his title?
Well, he knows who he is. He is the general. He is the general.
That's right, my brother.
And I appreciate you. Want you to know that. Yeah, I appreciate you, my brother. Keep doing what you do.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, but
you
they do have that song. They call me a door. That storm that's coming, they're calling it a nor'easter that's supposed to be grabbing the coast. It's supposed to go all the way up. I seen where it was going down to Georgia and all the way up to the New England. Yeah, because I know, you know, it's supposed to hit here too, but they're saying rain or snow. But it's a nor'easterner.
Right now, don't nothing happen by coincidence. Every look like every damn thing manufactured, y'all. Every damn thing manufactured. So whatever they say, do the opposite. So and one more thing I'm going to say before I be quiet. This time of year, they'll have everybody stupid talking about some damn happy New Year. And the New Year don't start about another 2 or 3 more months. So that's a damn lie. So, and I studied all that back when they flipped time. And but it's a bunch of just, hey, well, we going to get through this. Don't pause for nothing they say. Do the opposite of whatever the fucking shit they say. We at war. All right? You take what the enemy gives you and you use it for your advantage. That's the art of war. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be quiet. I love y'all. And I'm going to keep listening because it's time of year for me to listen, not to talk. Love y'all.
Yes, well, thank you because we're in a battle, just spiritual battle, because we're being attacked on all forces. It's spiritual. And, you know, Brother Ray said, you know, with using the drums and, you know, the drum call at 3 o'clock. You know, so at 3 o'clock on Sunday, what does it take? I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. You know, the drum for a couple minutes, you know, hour, you know, for however long. But in your drumming, add praying, you know, whoever you pray to or whatever it is that you do. But to implement this, because we have this on a spiritual battle, because if not, we're going to continue to lose generation after generation after generation. We're going to continue to lose if we don't fight this demon on the level on which he is, and he does it in the spirit and is manifested on the earth. So we have to fight him in the spirit.
And you're right.
Yes, ma'am.
If I may, I want to bring in at this point about the Tuskegee Airmen working for a national holiday on March the 7th. I'm going to put that in the people's mind. I don't know exactly what they wanted to do, but we need to make that manifest.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Kim.
No, someone else was saying something. That was the main thing I wanted to say.
No, Antoinette, you're correct, and the part of dealing with the spiritual is, this is why I say the overground. What's over us is the Milky Way. Our galaxy and all the stars and planets that align us, and their energy. And what we have is the first full moon is going to be on the 17th of this month. And that's called the wolf moon or the spirit moon, the first moon.
Yeah.
And what you do is you do ceremonies on your new moon and full moon. And this is how they work. Because if you look at things and see when people die or certain events happen, it's always around a full moon or a new moon. And so what we have to go back and look at ancestrally, how we did certain things with alignment of the date, and Brother West is correct, because March 21st
is
spring. That's the
new year.
Natural new year. We're in the
right.
dead
yes.
winter. And so what we have to begin to understand is how to use our higher power. We're here in earth as it is in heaven. And in the heavens are the alignments. And what
yeah.
we do is that we have to align with those things that are part of our galactic powers. And so this is how our ancestors did, because they did by following the cycles, because there's a universal law, there's a cosmic law, and there is a natural law. What Brother Tariq is talking about, man created his law that goes against the natural law. And so what we got to do is go back to the to nature, which is the oasis. Our ancestor spirit is in the earth, and it will be of service to us when we go and we do the right ceremonies, because we talk about spiritual, but in the word spiritual is the word ritual. The ritual is the way in which we do the ceremony to connect the spirit back to the body and the mind. This is why we're so disconnected, because the environment and the trauma creates the what's called epigenetics. It's in the DNA, the damage that we remember. And so all they do is reactivate it each generation.
Yes. Brother Ray, is
somebody
there anything you'd like to ask?
Well,
my thing is,
what do we do? What are we going to do? We know these things. We're teaching things. So what are we planning to do now? What about the future? What we know who's doing this. We know who they are. We know who came to kill, steal, and destroy. The question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to put a plan together that our people can follow and organize themselves to survive these attacks? This is a germ warfare that's going on in America right now, and this country
mm-hmm.
is under attack, and we're still allowing them to divide us and play games. The vaccinated against the unvaccinated, or the white against
yeah.
the black, you know, the churches against each other. And this yeah. boy Fauci is up the line. He's a Nazi. We know he's a Nazi. And we sitting back and allow them to do what they do without challenging them. And I saw that broadcast today with, what's his name,
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, I cannot remember his name, which was fake, was just false. I mean, come on. You know the Nazis running your country, and you're going to talk about to tell him to step down from a job? He should hang his butt. He's violated, he's attacking your country, killing your people.
Right.
But they don't say anything about that. And then
no, because it's money. It's all about the money.
Yes, that's why.
It don't matter, but it's still treason.
That's yeah. But that's
right,
why
treason,
I say. That's why I say. Hold your money. Stop spending your money with them. They can't survive if we hold our money. Them trillions of dollars we just heard that we earn, if we hold that, or build our own community, and like the Deacons of Defense did, dare them to come into the community with that crap, because we know these brothers are not killing each other, these drive-by shootings, and people disappearing at night. In our communities. We know these brothers are not doing that. Somebody else is doing it. But we're not prepared to investigate and to deal with it. and we have to do these things if we're going to get. And that's what planning does. We set it up, we plan, teach our young people how to defend themselves, teach them how to use weapons when they need them, when they need to, not to kill anyone, but to defend themselves, to defend our communities, to defend our little girls on the streets and eating, and they're being snatched up by these criminals. You know, so it comes a time when you have to take a stand. You know, in the Bible, it tells us about David and Goliath. Well, David didn't, after he got through praying, he took his slingshot and knocked Goliath down, took his sword and cut his head off. That stopped Goliath right away. And the rest of Goliath's people all tell. They got out of there because they're a bunch of cowards in the first place. And that's what we're dealing with right now, a bunch of cowards. And they prove themselves.
And Brother Ray, and you referring to the Helios Biblios, and in it says, revenge is mine, says who?
Hello.
And see, the thing in which we're looking at, this is a battle of spirits and principalities. And the thing that we've got to do is that they're going to get what they reap what they're sowing. The part that we have to do is get out of their fields and put our fields back into growing what we need. Because we did more as far as being able to have women and people in our community that knew the plants and the remedies to help us to stay strong and healthy. Now we're looking at, we've got all of this byproduct of what's taken from nature, copied and remade into chemicals. And the thing is that's what's killing us. Dr. Sabi gave us a diet that deal with every organ in your body, because there is a plant that goes with every organ. And if we understand how nature nurtures to bring about health, then we can become more.